On Sunday evenings, we're looking at the Ten Commandments. Let me read them to you again. This is Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 17. The Lord spoke these words: "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's." We began last week thinking about the fourth commandment. I'll read it again. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. God has commanded that we should remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. God has said that we must labor and do all our work on 6 days, but the seventh day is to be kept as a Sabbath. And God has given us the reason behind this command. He's told us that the reason is that He made the world and everything in it within the space of 6 days. And then on the seventh day he rested, and he blessed the Sabbath day, that seventh day, and he made it holy. So the reason for this command goes right back to the beginning of the world. It goes right back to creation. And we began to think about that last week. The first book in the Bible, the book of Genesis, chapter 1, tells us how God created the world and everything in it in 6 days. And on the sixth day, he first created all the animals, and then he created human beings, the first man and woman, Adam, Eve. This is what we read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Now we saw last week how important that was. God created the first human beings in his own image, in his likeness. He created human beings to be like himself, to reflect his power and his wisdom and his love of beauty and his creativity and his capacity to love. Adam and Eve were intended to be like God, and they were expected to be like him consciously. They were intended to copy God, to imitate him, just as children imitate their parents. And one way in which they were to imitate God was that they should work. God gave them work to do. He said that they were to subdue the earth. They were to take control of the earth. They were to make use of everything that God had made in ways that were good and wise and profitable. We could list off a few of the things that that would involve. Building bridges to span the rivers, building ships to cross the oceans, digging mines to extract minerals, cutting wood to make violins, using stone to build houses, using chips of silicon to build computers. Man was to bring out all the potential from the earth. And he was to rule the animals, to control them all, to train each one of them to fulfill its own proper role in the world. God had created and shaped the world, and now human beings had to imitate him by carrying on his work, by carrying on creating and shaping. And that wasn't just for the first two human beings. They were told to multiply, to have children and grandchildren, descendants who would spread out across the world and fill it so that every part of the earth could be subdued and shaped by man. This command was for all generations to come. God was giving commands for all human beings everywhere. He says to the whole human race, "I made you in my image. So now you must work as I've worked." Now those commands were given, according to Genesis 1, on the sixth day of creation. But then, on the seventh day, we're told that God rested. That doesn't mean he was tired and needed to relax. The word just means he stopped what he had been doing. He ceased from his work. And as he rested from his work, he wanted Adam and Eve to share his rest. We're told that he blessed that seventh day, that rest day. What that means is that he decreed that that day would bring greater benefits and blessings than any of the other 6 days. And we're told that he made it holy. He set it aside for himself to be used for holy purposes. He didn't want Adam and Eve to use that day to subdue the earth. He wanted them to use that day for himself, to worship him, to talk with him, to listen to him, to enjoy him. That's what it means when it says that he made it holy, or he sanctified it. Human beings were made to be God's image bearers. So God made it clear that they were to copy him in this as well. They were to copy the way that he worked for 6 days, but they were also to copy the way he stopped working for one day, and they were to use that day for holy purposes. Now remember, this seventh day, the seventh day of God's activity, was man's first full day in the world. This Sabbath, viewed from God's perspective, was the seventh day. But from man's point of view, it was their first day. The morning of that day was the first morning that Adam and Eve had ever seen. You might have thought that God would say to Adam and Eve, when you've worked your 6 days, then you can share my rest day. But no, man's very first day in the world was blessed and set aside by God to be holy. Before man started the work of subduing the earth, first he was to spend this day resting in the presence of God, sharing God's rest. The Sabbath day wasn't a reward that Adam and Eve would earn for working hard on the other 6 days. It was a gracious gift. Man had done nothing to earn this privilege, but God had been working. And God said to these people, our great, 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 great grandparents, you share my rest. I give you this day as a gift. And then when you've enjoyed a day spent with me, then you'll be ready to get on with your work. So now, in the light of all of that, you can understand what the fourth commandment, the Sabbath commandment, is all about. You can see the reason behind this commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Why? Well, the reason God gives is this: because you're my image bearers. I made you to be like me. So I want you to copy me in my working and in my resting. The great reason why we keep one day in seven as special is because we love God. We admire God. We want to be like God. We want to imitate him. And this is one way in which we do that. Now that, I think, is the point we got to last week. So far we've just been summarizing. We asked this question last week. Why do so many people struggle to understand why we should keep the Sabbath commandment? And the first answer we've seen is this: because they don't see any need to imitate God. They don't think of themselves as created by God. They don't think of themselves as being made to reflect his glory. They don't admire God. They don't love him. They don't think of themselves as his children who should bring him pleasure by copying him. They've no desire to do so. Ever since Adam and Eve rebelled against God, the human heart has said, I want to do it my way. Why should I do it God's way? When people sneer at this commandment, it's a symptom of the fact that human beings don't want to be like God. They'd rather imitate animals than live up to God's holy standards. God says, be holy as I'm holy. And they don't want to be. They don't want to reflect God in any way. So why should they want to reflect him in this way? But then there's a second reason why people poo-poo this commandment or resent it. And it's this. They don't believe that all their time belongs to God and that he has the right to dictate what we do with all our time. You see, this commandment isn't just about the one day in seven. It's about all 7 days. It says, 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh is a Sabbath for the Lord your God. Well, the first half of that commandment is as important as the second one. God tells us what we must be doing on the 6 days. You shall labour, he says. And the word that's translated labour means serve. It's the verbal form of the word that's translated servant or even slave. So God is saying that you must use the 6 days to serve him by working. The commandment isn't, well, you've got 6 days to use for yourself, for your own projects, for your own pleasures, to advance your own career. Those days belong to you. No, this commandment makes it very clear that the 6 days belong to God just as much as the one day does. The only difference is the way that God wants us to use them. 6 days we serve him by working. One day we serve him by leaving off from the work that he's given us. And to use the day then for holy purposes. To use it to focus on him directly. There are many people who would think of themselves as religious, but who have never grasped this. They think of life as divided into slices, and they're prepared to give God what they think of as a reasonable slice, while they keep the rest of it for themselves. They think of money in that way. Well, I give God some of my money because I'm generous and I'm religious, and the rest of it then belongs to me. And they also think of their time in that way. Well, I'm prepared to let God have time at Christmas and Easter. I think that's reasonable, because those are special holy feasts, aren't they? But then the rest of the year is mine. Or if they're a bit more religious, they're prepared to give God 5 minutes every night. I'll say a prayer every night. But then the rest of the day is mine. It's mine to spend on my family and my hobbies and my career and my pleasure. And that's what they imagine the fourth commandment is about. They'll generously, sacrificially, religiously give God one day a week. But then the rest of the week is theirs to use as they choose. And as for most non-religious people, most of them would say that one day in seven is an unreasonably big slice for God to ask for. You mean I'm expected to give a seventh of my time to God? Why, that only leaves me 6 days for myself. But no. According to this commandment, you're not expected to give a seventh of your time to God. You're expected to give back 7/7 of your time to God. That's what the commandment says. You spend 6 days a week doing the work I want you to do, and then you spend a seventh day breaking off from that work to spend the day with me. The BBC is the perfect example of the give God a slice mentality. Give God half an hour on Radio 4 on a Sunday morning. Or let God have a Songs of Praise hour on TV once a week. And then all the rest of our broadcasting schedule, we can leave God out of the picture, because politics has nothing to do with God, and sport has nothing to do with God, and drama has nothing to do with God. God's had his slice, and the rest is ours. But God spoke this command from the top of the mountain with fire and thunder and earthquake, and he said, everything you have, everything you are belongs to me. So 6 days you shall work, and that work shall be the work that I want you to do. It'll be done in the way I want you to do it. And then every seventh day is set aside for meeting me, talking with me, listening to me, knowing me. All 7 days are mine. What a huge variety of work God has given human beings to do. He said to us that we're to multiply and fill the earth. It means that we're to have children, and that involves feeding them. It involves caring for them in a thousand different ways. That's work God has told us to do. He said to us that we're to subdue the earth and then make use of everything in it. So that means everything from sweeping floors and forcing the dust to stay where it should be, to building nuclear reactors and using them to heat homes. It means that we produce vaccines, and that we write music, and that we exercise our bodies, and that we turn wood pulp into books and print them and read them. He said that we rule the animals, so we make nets and catch fish, and we rear cattle, and we use their hide for shoe leather, and we keep a dog and we take it for walks. All this work we do for God. We never forget that we're doing it because he's given it to us to do. And we do it in the way he wants us to do it, in line with the detailed commands that we find in the Bible. And we do all our work not resentfully, not reluctantly, because it's been forced on us. We do it gladly. Whatever it is, as an act of loving service to God, we do it for God's pleasure, we do it for God's glory. We do it recognizing that God has the right to tell us how to use every day, every hour, every moment of our lives. We're his creatures. We belong to him. The brains with which we do our thinking, they're his creation, and they're kept functioning by him. The fingers by which we type our emails, they're fingers he's shaped. The feet by which we press the gas pedal and the clutch, they're feet that he's designed. Our time, our energy, our strength, they're all entrusted to us, not so that we can declare independence from God and use them for ourselves, but rather so that we can use them for God in dependence on him. You see, all the Ten Commandments, all the Ten Laws are really just one commandment. They're really just one law. You shall have no other gods but me. That's the first commandment. God claims to be supremely important. God must simply be everything to us. He must be all that we worship. No rivals, no competition. Each of the other commandments simply tells us how that works out in practice, including this one. It tells us that God must have all our time. We must think of every day, every hour, every minute as belonging to him, to be used in the way that he dictates. But proud, independent, rebellious human beings, such as we are by nature, don't want to think and live in that way. They want to talk about my time, my body, my work, my friends, my freedom, my life. Well, if you had created yourself, if you had given yourself life, if you kept yourself alive from day to day, if you gave yourself the power to act and to think, if you had created your own universe to live in, then you might have the right to think of your life and your time as belonging to you. But no, 100% of what you are was created and entrusted to you by God. You didn't make one cell in your body for yourself. You'd never have lived for 1 minute if God hadn't created you and kept you in existence for that minute. You belong to God totally, all the time. And that's what this fourth commandment, the Sabbath commandment, tells us. So I've given you two reasons why people find this commandment baffling and don't see why they should keep it. The first is because they don't think of themselves as made in the image of God, and they don't see why they should imitate God. And the second is because they think of their time as belonging to them by right, and they don't see that it all belongs to God and that it's all to be used as he commands. I'm going to give you a third reason why people don't see the importance and the relevance of this commandment. It's this. They don't understand that fellowship with God is more important and more blessed than all the activities we're involved in. Think again of what we've seen in Genesis 1 and 2. All the different animals made on the sixth day. Finally man, the first man and woman. God blesses them. God tells them the work he wants them to do. The day ends. They fall asleep. They wake. It's their first day in the world. It's their first morning. And they've got so much work to do. They've the Garden of Eden to tend. They've the animals to name. They've the whole earth to explore and subdue. And God says to them, not yet. I've blessed this day, your first day. I've set it aside. You can start your work tomorrow. All the work I want you to do. But today you share my rest. Today you spend with me. That takes priority. And then when we've had this day together, then you'll be ready to start your work. God was teaching them a lesson, which they were to teach to their children. And their children were to teach it to their children. Down through all generations. Knowing God himself. Worshipping God, listening to God, speaking to God, enjoying God, that takes priority over all the other activities that God wants us to do. Practical activities, intellectual activities, artistic activities, family activities, recreational activities. There's nothing more important than drawing near to God himself. Oh yeah, all the other activities need to be done. And God's commanded us to use 6 days in seven to do them. But the first day of every week is to be set aside for God himself. Now, events of the last couple of months have brought home to us very sharply, haven't they, how totally the people of the world, our society, rejects that truth. You know, we've been living through this lockdown, and so much human activity has been brought to a halt. But the government has recognised that some activities are essential. It's essential that some factories be kept open, so we'll try and make them as safe as possible. for the people who work in them, but they've got to be kept open. And we'll keep supermarkets open because they're essential. And we'll keep bike shops and garages open because they're essential. And we'll keep the takeouts open because they're essential. And we'll keep the hardware stores open because they're essential. And we'll keep schools and nurseries open for the children of essential workers. There are some activities that are crucial. People can't live without them. And as lockdown is loosened, other things are being added to that list. It's essential that people should be able to spend time in parks and on the beaches. And urgent discussions are going on about how pubs and restaurants can be opened, and concert halls and theatres too. It's recognised that if people can't exercise, if they can't listen to music, if they can't eat out together, that something essential has been lost. The world has its list of things that are essential, vital, necessary for human life, human well-being. I wonder how many people, how many politicians, how many journalists would put on that list of the essentials knowing God, worshipping him, praying, spending time seeking him. In our society, those things just aren't seen as essential. Well, this commandment tells us that there is nothing in all the world that is as essential, as vital for human beings, as that they should spend time with God. God himself commanded that we should make that our priority. The command makes it clear that we have to do that on a weekly basis. Before we turn to our 6 days of activity, we have one day set aside for worship. But if that's true for the week, it's equally true for every day. What is the single most important task that you have to do each day? I don't say the most urgent task. I say the most important task, the most essential task. What is it? It's that you should spend time with God, that you should have dealings with him and he with you. We may all have urgent tasks that have to be performed immediately. A crying baby has to be fed, has to be changed. A pan that's boiling over has to be taken off the hob. A phone call from the doctor has to be answered. These are urgent things. They can't be put off. But don't confuse the urgent tasks with the most important ones. The most important work you will do in the course of your day is listening to God, speaking to God, treating God as he ought to be treated, honouring him as the supreme eternal Lord. And if that can't be the first activity of the day, it still has to be the one that you're determined to do most regularly, and the one to which you give most effort and most determination. Listen to the servant of the Lord, Jesus himself. He says, "Morning by morning, the Lord awakens me to listen as those who are taught." Jesus was keeping the Sabbath commandment on a daily basis. He was treating time spent with God. He was treating his own relationship with God as more important than any other activity. Of all the things Jesus had to do in a day, what was the most important? Teaching? Doing miracles? Producing bread for 5,000 hungry people? Healing people, casting out demons. Now, the most important thing of all, the thing he prioritized, was time spent with God his Father. So that has to be true on a daily basis. And it has to be true on a weekly basis. Your week must start with a day reserved for God. for being near him, for interacting with him, for worshipping him. Let me just add something here for clarity. Many folk, even folk who know that they must take this commandment seriously, have been confused by the fact that this set aside for God day is called the seventh day, which leaves them thinking that the pattern is 6 days of activity and then a seventh day to spend with God. It almost becomes you need the seventh day to recover from the 6 days. But what they're forgetting is that when it says that the set aside day was the seventh day, that means it was God's seventh day. It was the seventh day of his creation week. But for Adam and Eve, it was the first day. It wasn't we work for 6 days and then we move to worship. It was we worship on our first day and then we're ready to move to our 6 days of work. It may be that in different parts of the world, believers, God's people, people who are determined to keep this command will need to use different days in the secular week as their Sabbath. They're set aside for God's day. So let's imagine that in some country, the day that on the calendar is the third day of the week is a day given by the state and by employers for people to have off work. Well, then God's people may say in that country, we're going to keep that as our Sabbath. But then they must think of that day as the beginning of their week. Whatever it says on the calendar, the day on which they're resting, the day on which they are seeking God, must be in their minds the start of their weekly cycle. What on the calendar is the third day, for them it's the first day. It's the day on which they say, I start anew today. My week begins here. I'm going to spend this day with my God, my King, my Master, my Lord. And then I'm going to spend the rest of my week doing the work that he's given me to do. I need this first day to prepare for the week that's coming. Worshipping God, having fellowship with God, listening to God, learning from God, seeking strength from God for the work that he's given us to do, having a relationship with God is more important than building houses or cooking meals or planting orchards or writing poetry or playing music or raising cattle or raising money for charities or writing PhD theses. Now, those are all right and good things to do. They're all things that God may set as the work that he wants you to do. Do them with all your might. But doing those things must never squeeze out the greatest thing that God wants you to do. To come near to him personally. One day, you are going to stand before God and be judged. And you will be asked whether you used your time in the way that he commanded. Or maybe then you'll start reciting a whole long list of activities you were involved in. And you say, oh yes, I worked incredibly hard. I did so many good things. And you'll list out all the good, useful, charitable, splendid things that you did. And then he'll ask, did you put time aside for me? Did you spend even one day in seven seeking my presence? Would a husband be content if his wife spent all day every day cooking for him, cleaning for him, ironing for him, but never had time to talk to him. If he loves her, he wants there to be time when they can simply be together and express that love for one another. Do you expect God to accept all the good things you've done if you couldn't spend even one day in seven with him? And finally, let me give you a fourth reason why so many people don't see the importance of this Sabbath commandment. It's because they think of religion as purely a personal affair. And they say, well, if you want to worship God, if you want to say your prayers, if you want to read your Bible, well, you can do those things any time. You get on with it. And let other people get on with what they want to do. There doesn't have to be a definite day set aside, does it? Listen again to these words from the fourth commandment, because they're often overlooked. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son, or your daughter, your male servant, or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. Do you see? The commandment does not just say, you must keep this day special, personally. It says that you don't ask your son, or your daughter, or your servant, your employee, to do any work on this day. You don't even ask your livestock, your donkey or your ox to do any work on this day. If you've got a sojourner, a visitor staying under your roof, you don't ask him to do any work on this day. Because God says, I want all of you together to be setting this day aside as a holy day for me. And God first wrote this command down for the nation of Israel. It was his command before that, but it was the first time it was written down at Sinai. When he wrote this command, it wasn't just that every Israelite had to choose for himself a time to seek God and to pray and to meditate and to worship. It was that the whole nation should be in lockdown, leaving behind all other activities to worship God together. And it was the duty of every individual to make it possible for every other individual to do that. You say, well, I keep the Sabbath. But do you do everything in your power to help others to keep the Sabbath? You know, here in this country, if God's people, if believers are going to set aside any day as holy, it will be Sunday. Which is great, because even on the secular calendar, that's the first day of the week. And it's the day on which the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. Well, if you go shopping on the Sunday, what about the girl who works in the shop? Can she keep the day as a holy day for the Lord? If she has to be there to serve you? If you go to the restaurant on Sunday, can the cooks and the waiters and the lad who washes up, can they keep the day as a day of worship and seeking God? Listen again. On that day you shall not do any work, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant. The question that you'll face on Judgment Day will not only be, did you set aside that one day to worship me? But did you help and encourage others to set aside the day so that they could worship with you? The phrase that's used in the Old Testament was that the Sabbath was to be a day of sacred assembly. It wasn't just for individuals to reserve one day in seven to meet with God. It wasn't just personal. It was for people to assemble to seek God together. And therefore every person had the duty to help every other person to keep the day special. Do shop assistants and restaurant staff, do they need to set aside one day in seven and to meet with God's people to hear God's word? They need it as much as you do. How can you encourage them to do that if you're making them work for you on the day you're telling them to set aside for him? The Sabbath can't just be personal. Well, you knew that we were going through the Ten Commandments. And you knew that we would come to this Sabbath commandment. I wonder what you were expecting from me. Were you expecting a list of do's and don'ts? Things that you must do on a Sunday and things you can't do on a Sunday. Must I come to two services? How long should I spend reading my Bible? How long should I spend praying on a Sunday? Can I listen to music? Can I do some sewing? Can I go for a hike in the countryside? Can I play football with the children? Were you expecting that? A tick list of things you can do, things you can't do. Well, you must work those things out for yourselves in the presence of God. But they're not the things that are on my heart. And I don't think those are the things that are central when it comes to keeping this commandment. The great questions are, is your heart set on imitating God? On being renewed in the likeness of Jesus Christ? Are you determined to be holy as God is holy? Are you determined that your life should be an echo of his life? Are you conscious that all your time is his? Not just 6 days, but 7 days. Are you determined that your whole life is going to be a life centering on him, serving him? Yes, by working on 6 days, and then by setting aside a seventh. Are you determined that knowing God should be your great priority? Are you determined that that is going to eclipse everything else? That your life is going to be a life close to God? And then from that, moving on to do the work that God wants you to do. And are you determined that you are going to help others to know this God and to seek this God and to give themselves to obeying this God? Those are the questions we have to answer tonight. If keeping this Sabbath command were just a matter of ticking the right boxes, yes, Stephen told me I mustn't do X. No, I've not done it. It means I mustn't do Y, and I've not done that. It means I must do A, and I've done that. If it really were a matter of lists of things you could do, things you couldn't do, places you can go, places you can't go, food you can eat, food you can't eat, then you could do it. And you could do it while your heart was still unrenewed. You could do it with a heart that had no love for God at all. We can keep rules just by strong will. We can say, no, I won't do that on a Sunday. I won't eat that. I won't go there. I won't buy such and such. Oh, we can keep rules like that. But if this fourth commandment is telling you that God must be all in all to you, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 60 minutes in every hour, if it's telling you that your whole life must be one of pursuing God and loving God and serving God, then you will never do it unless your heart is changed, unless a new life is placed within you, unless the power of sin over you is broken. And only Jesus Christ can do that. There is only one way in which stony, hard, unloving hearts can be transformed. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to save sinners, must save you. If Jesus lays his hand on you, and if you trust yourself into the hands of Jesus, he will remake you. He himself will come and dwell within you. And he will share with you the passionate love that he has for his Father. He was the one who did give 7 day a week perfect obedience to his Father. And he, living in you, can remake you. Are you looking forward to another life? Are you looking forward to another world? In the world to come, the world that we call heaven, every day will be a Sabbath. Every day will be spent worshipping the living God, delighting in him, enjoying him. Are you ready for that sort of world? If you're not, it is only the Lord Jesus who can make you into the sort of man, the sort of woman, the sort of lad, the sort of girl who does keep this commandment truly from the heart.